Good evening and welcome to the Sunday episode of the Hog Talk Podcast, live from the Sterling Soap and Roastery Studios, part of the Believe in Buzz Radio Network, where you can hear us each week on 106.7 in Central Arkansas. All live shows are brought to you by Arkansas Brewing Company in downtown Ozark. I'm Porter Hayes, and alongside me as always is Adam Hall, and we are presented by Bet Online.
BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything sports betting. Every stat, matchup, breakdown, and even live odds and spreads to bet on during games. With the largest catalog of odds on everything from football, MLB playoffs, NHL, NBA, to political props. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering. BetOnline. The game starts here.
Adam, we start the show. Baylor, another loss. I don't know. I was thinking about this before we went on air. Something about, man, playing in Dallas. Something about that Dallas vibe. I mean, we see it with the A&M series. Now we're seeing it with going to Fort Worth and playing TCU, going to Dallas and playing Baylor. It's Dallas is not becoming that friendly environment that we once loved for Arkansas to go play. I mean, it's a good destination for Hog fans to travel. That's been about it lately.
Mm-hmm. Only shining moment, I guess, is for the baseball team whenever they go down to, you know, Arlington in February. I mean, it was a game that I wasn't quite sure what we were going to see. I wasn't sure what to expect. It's still early in the season. You know, two games officially, four games total. You just hope to see improvements from game to game. I mean, if you're not going to hit shots, you're not going to win games. And exactly. That's just what it boils down to. We out-rebounded them offensively and defensively. They had one more steal, but we had five more blocks than they did. So it's really the zone screwed with Arkansas. They ran it throughout the entire game. They ran different variations of it. So it was one of those you're kind of waiting for them to come off of it, and they never did. And it messed with Arkansas, especially when it's a team that's struggling to shoot the three, and that's all you're giving up is, you know, basically three pointers. It made for a long night.
Yeah, and when we come on Thursday, I said, look, this game's going to be a battle. Everybody looked at that loss to Gonzaga, and they were like, okay, you know, they lost by 40. And, yeah, all that is, you know, bulletin board material for now. Arkansas gets beat by Baylor, and they're like, look, how did you lose to a team that just got beat by 40? We looked at the stats and the threes, and I said, if this team gets hot, it's going to be a battle. We still have to remember this is not a chump team. Before the week, they were ranked number 8. I don't know where they'll fall to, but this was still a top 10 team coming into this game. Gonzaga could end up running the table and beating everybody, win a national championship. They could be that good. I don't know. But you can't sit there and just because this game and you fought back. You know, Baylor just didn't let you get over that hump. Baylor didn't let you take control of the game. And the biggest thing that I was scared of was, you know, you had Norchad, you know, 15 and 12. I said, you let these guys get some boards, and then a newcomer emerges that we didn't even talk about on Thursday shows, VJ. He went 11 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yes, the zone screwed him up, but let's just call a spade a spade. It was the scoring. If you could score. Arkansas only had two guys in double digits. Adu had 24, Boogie had 17. You had two close, Janelle had 8, and DJ had 8. So, you know, just better shooting. Better shooting all around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, some of it, I think shooters are going to shoot. And, you know, Coach Cal said a lot of coaches are going to tell their players that. Keep shooting, because it's one of those things, you get into a slump, you've got to shoot yourself out of it. I just don't think the confidence is there when they're jacking threes. And I think one thing that we saw from Boogie that we hadn't seen, you know, he was having to just attack. He wasn't getting those mid-range jumpers, you know, basically because of the zone. And it just really threw Arkansas off. And I mean, I can't remember a team, you know, we've had one or two guys team after team that could attack the basket, but this Arkansas team as a whole, I'm still amazed at how many guys can attack the basket.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes I will say, I think that they may attack a little bit too quick to where they don't have any help around them.
Yeah.
So they're basically driving into four or five guys and there's not somebody around to potentially dish it to or get the rebound or whatever.
When you look at it too, another thing that just, it's really not alarming, but it's just a stat that pops out. You know, Arkansas is only able to get the ball, you know, 8 turnovers in the game. So when we're looking at these keys, when we're talking about this on Thursday, the keys coming into this game, they really didn't hit none of the keys of the game to beating Baylor. So therefore, I'm not surprised that they didn't beat Baylor. It's just the shooting, again, the scoring. I mean, your free throw percentage is, I mean, you're 82% for the game. It's that 3-point percentage. And who was it they said they wanted to see if they trimmed down their shots from Wednesday? Well, there was a question, a comment. I hope
it was Boogie.
Boogie?
Mm-hmm.
So Boogie, he was 3 for 5. He was your shining light.
Because I think he was like 1 for 8 or 1 for 9 against Lipscomb.
Yeah.
So shot selection was a big deal for some.
And you bring up Lipscomb. This is another point we made on the show, that you played a team that you thought you could handle, and we're looking at these short turnarounds. You're in a battle for most point of this game. Then you have to turn around and go down to Dallas and play on Saturday. You had Wednesday game. So not making excuses. It's just things that early in the year that these are going to be the teaching lessons that you're going to have to get used to, but especially when SEC season comes, when you look at this schedule for Arkansas, I mean, let's just go to the SEC schedule. I mean, you got Tennessee, Ole Miss, Florida, LSU. So, I mean, you're thinking about Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. That's going to be your norm. So you might have used that now as, okay, look, we had a quick turnaround, and then we had to go on the road. That's what you're going to have to get used to. And that's what you got to fix.
And I think it's good that we're not just game after game in Bud Walton Arena early in the season. Because I think that hurts a lot of teams when they finally do get to whatever non-conference tournament they might go to, or in Arkansas's case, you know, Blaine in Kansas City and then Madison Square Garden. It's one of those that's getting that travel feel out of the way before they hit SEC play. I think is going to help them when we do get there. You know, I know that we've got, I think, Troy coming up Wednesday. And then we don't play Saturday. And then I think they follow up with Pacific on the following Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's one, they're going to have their stretch here in Bud Walton, but then, you know, come Thanksgiving time, they're up in Kansas City playing Illinois. So it's good to get them out of their home environment. So it's one of those, you just have to learn from it game to game, figure out what's working, what's not. Cal said he's going to run his guys that, you know, he brought in your 7, 8, 9, you know, the guys 10 and on, they know what they're here for, you know, for practice, for this, for that. I'm just sitting here thinking, like, if you've got a sharpshooter out of one of those guys that you brought over from as walk-ons, or if they got scholarships or whatever, why not try it out?
Yeah.
And I mean, especially in this non-conference time. Because if you're struggling from three and you've got some guys that shot the three well and at whatever level they came from, try it.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what you're going to run your offense around, you look at the next four games you have at Bud Walton Arena. You brought up a great point. It's not like a 8, 9, 10 game stretch at Bud Walton, then you're thrown right into SEC play. You know, you talked about Kansas City playing Illinois. Well, then you turn right back around and go play at Miami. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're back at Bud Walton Arena for Texas San Antonio. Then you go right back to New York City. I think you're talking about really getting this team used to this travel and getting used to everything. You know, because when you get done, this is the longest stretch you're going to have upcoming, this 4-game stretch. That's it. When you're talking about games in Bud Walton Arena, you got 2 in a row. in the end of December. Then you start SEC play. Then you have two. There's times where you'll play a Wednesday, Saturday at Bud Walton, but then Tuesday, Saturday the following week, LSU at you're at LSU and at Missouri. So we can talk about where we're at now with this team, and I know there's a lot of these fans that are already fire coach, and you know the house is burning down. But if you look at this team and look at this schedule, and we know early on they're a very good team. I mean, they beat Kansas. Yeah, we can. Exhibition, we know what they're capable of doing. And they stayed in this game. They didn't see Baylor go out to 11, 13-point game and then just be like – because at one point, somebody was saying, well, if this doesn't get fixed, they can get run out of the gym. Well, then they pulled it right back. So they still fought hard. It just wasn't in the cards for them to win, and they know why. We know what the team offensively is capable of. If they flip this game, then, I mean, you lose 72-67 – and you didn't hit all three key points of that game. So that's very good when it comes into the outlook of this season and what they can do, because had nothing go right and you still only lost by 5-6 points.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing the commentators touched on for a good little stretch, but made various points throughout, you know, Coach Cal's national championship team or Final Four teams, they all were defensive-minded when it came to just, I mean, just dogging the other team. Defense created offense. I think that's what he's getting or trying to get back to. You know, I know that they even mentioned the last 4 or 5 years at Kentucky that it got away from him when it came to that aspect of it. And I think that's what he hit on before the season, that we're preaching defense. Offense is going to take more time to gel. Like, he's just letting us know, like, this is where we're going. And so I think that's what we're seeing right now. So you've got more of a focus on defense. Now, some at some point, you're going to have to be able to pick it up on offense. And if you can't, if you're not going to hit the three, don't go shoot how many, 19 or 20 a game. I mean, figure out how to create those shots elsewhere.
It's crazy because that it seems like that's the norm now. You know, you look at Baylor's game against Gonzaga, 21 threes. Gonzaga shot 31. I just want to know what the average is for three-point shots in a game. And you'll see that this is on par from what every college does. We're jacking the three. And a lot of times, you look at that the Auburn game where dude was just coming down – crossing people from a logo, shooting it. Yeah, they were going in. They were falling.
Did you see the wide open dude in the corner that just kept wanting the ball and not getting it?
And then you get in a fight on the plane. You know, things could be worse. Things could be a lot worse. Got off track. I was going to look at the loss. It is still a loss, yes. Not making any excuses about this being a loss.
I mean, we're not sitting here crapping on everything. Yeah. I mean, if that's what y'all would like us to do, we can. But at the same time, it's –
no,
there's things to build on. There's a lot more positives out of these first two games, four games, if you want to count non-conference, than we have in football. We'll get to that.
Yeah. I don't think everybody's tickled pink after the game. I think majority, they're upset. Rightfully so. We want to win the game. We want Arkansas to win. I mean, it's good for everybody if they win. We're just pointing out the what went wrong for Arkansas, and you still lost by five. You know, we're pointing out that things that we said coming into this Baylor game to beware of, Baylor did, and they beat Arkansas. But moving forward, we're talking about the schedule and who you have left to play, but you're still going to be tested in the non-conference. It's going to be one of the things. Look, we'll talk about this for a second, you know, to wrap up the final part of the first segment is just the popularity. Look, Arkansas is going to be under a microscope this year. There's going to be negative articles. There's going to be positive articles. And there's certain people, and I thought it was just a certain fan base, but now you've got big hitters, people associated with even bigger outlets that just want to write about Arkansas losing this game. Adam, you can give your thoughts on it, and we'll bounce back and forth on this. But, I mean, this is what we're going to get, guys. This is what we're going to get every game. But this is what we should expect when Cal comes to Arkansas.
Well, so this is from Barstool, and this Riggs or whatever. I mean, he's notorious. He's a Kentucky homer. He's part of BBN, whatever. Oh. Has it out for Calipari. At the same time, if Calipari was to win a national championship at Arkansas, this guy would find some fault in it. Or he would somehow try to find some way to give the credit to Kentucky in some way, shape, or form. But this is what we have to deal with. And articles like this, all he's trying to do is bait Arkansas fans into interactions. If you go and look at the posts on Facebook, this morning when I looked at it, I mean, there was 212 comments and, you know, it hadn't been out that long. So that's what these guys are seeking. So all his interactions on X, on Facebook, he's coming after Arkansas fans because he knows he can and he knows that we'll react to it. Yeah. And same goes for some of the Arkansas media, that with some of the headlines there. It's all clickbait for interactions. But this guy, I mean, if Coach Calipari was on fire, this guy wouldn't piss on him.
Yeah. Well, you know, and he had the post-game press conference, and everybody just went nuts over that. And, oh, the similarities at Kentucky. But articles like this, if things are going the right way for Arkansas, if we're winning, you're loving articles like these because they're writing good things about you. But yes, they're using Arkansas for clickbait. There's a certain person who is a national guy now who love him to death. But he knows that he can say anything about Arkansas, good or bad, and it's going to drive ratings. But there's nothing against that. That's what I'm saying. Like, we can call a spade a spade. But you know what? That's called marketing. That's called being a good at your business. I'm going to go talk about this team because that's where I'm going to get my interactions from. What? There's nothing wrong with that. I just don't want to say anybody's name because I don't want it seem like I'm taking it in a negative way, or I'm taking shots at somebody for, oh, you only got to this point because you talk about Arkansas. I won't do that. But you know that when you talk about Arkansas, it's going to be negative, positive, but it's going to be popular because they know how the Arkansas fan base is. But then again, if you see two or three people inside the state media or say their media doing the same thing, following, copying, pasting, and taking stuff from other articles to make it their own, that's where I get the lazy side of it. You're not doing your own takes. You're not giving your own opinion on a said subject. It's like we have 20-25 Arkansas Razorback podcasts going on during football, basketball, baseball season. We're giving our own opinions. I'm not taking something from inside Arkansas and then we're talking about it tonight, or I'm not coming off of Hog Pod or Hogs Plus and trying to verbatim talk about in our own words what their discussion topics were.
You mean you just don't want to repeat the press conference afterwards?
Yeah.
I mean, we could just sit here and just read it, read the script.
We could read the box score for 15 minutes. I mean, look, I could give a good 5-minute speech on a plus minus. You know, we just go down the plus minus on here. But it's just the fact that we know whether it's lazy. And I have mad respect for the ones who do the research. They do the writing. They do the homework. But you can tell the difference between someone's true writing and when you read what I would really call. So I'll just say somebody like Best of Arkansas Sports, the headlines, it's going to be clickbait because that's what's going to draw you to the article. But then you go read their articles, their journalist, Andrew, Evan, some of the top journalists in the state. But then you go read other articles where it's the same kind of clickbaity article. Then you go in there and it's half of it's in quotations of a press conference and then a few stats with it. Huge difference there. Mm-hmm.
I will say, looking at or watching the game last night, I did comment on a few threads and whatnot. It doesn't matter the coach. It doesn't matter who Arkansas has on the floor. We're going back several years here. Does not matter. Arkansas still struggles with the zone. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is, but Arkansas has for what I can remember the majority of my life. And here I am at 37. And for most years, I feel like, when I see a team come out in zone, I'm just like, here we go.
You think about, look at Muss and look at Cal. They've been in college, but they know what it takes to get people to the NBA. Their mindset is getting people to the NBA, the next level. How many teams in the NBA run zone? I mean, I'm just, all right. So their focus is, we want to try to outscore somebody. We want to try to do the best to get these guys. It's a farm league now. All college athletics is, even before NIL, it's a farm league to get people to the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball. Why is there so many guys that you look at the triple option that never made it in college or in the NFL? Because what they are doing in college doesn't transition to the NFL. Now you see everybody running zone reads. You see shotguns. You see all these things from the top schools because that's what the pros are doing. And when you come out in the zone, you do it in college because you're trying to take advantage of a team that make them shoot a three. It's just how it is. But Cal and Muss are the same way. They're very well NBA oriented coaches. So yeah, if they come out and say, well, we weren't going to, you know, coach the zone, because you take this loss against Baylor. How many other teams, I don't know what they run defense. I'm just using this for the head. How many other teams are going to be playing zone against you? So do you want to emphasize all your stuff on one team? Or work on building your team and getting ready for March or getting ready for February or getting ready for SEC season.
And if you get somebody going, you know, with the three, that's going to break down the zone. So at some point, somebody's going to have to be able to hit it because you're going to have guys that can drive and then kick out. But when you don't have anybody that is a threat at this point at three, I mean, I know Boogie was 3 for 5 last night, but teams aren't going to respect you, so they're going to leave you open. And that's just how it looks like it's going to be until they prove otherwise. But coming in and shooting, I think, 21% game one, 25% game two from three, I mean, you're going to have to do better than that.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, and I don't know how practices are ran, but most of the time when people go into the gym, they just go to one of those shooting machines and shoot threes, or they run a couple of half drills, half cuts, half speed. I think a lot of it, if they run in-game sprints, shoot, in-game up and down sprint, you put yourself in a games time type setting and then start working on that three-point game, work on those drills, just like Cal said, go in there and really work on shooting in an in-game situation instead of, man, I went to the gym last night and I put up 100 shots and made 60 of them. I mean, that's good, but you got to really, because it's all about muscle memory and mechanics, and you got to put yourself of running, getting gassed, and then you start shooting these shots. That's where you get better at shooting games, three points in games.
Mm-hmm. You know, this comp right here, kind of comparing NBA and college. NBA is unwatchable these days because it's all about three-pointers. Run 2 seconds, fire up three, rinse, repeat for the entire game. So college teams are going to have three-point shooters, which evidently Arkansas may not have. You know, I watch probably, or have on at least, 2 to 3 NBA games a week. And there is a lot of that. The talent level is a lot better, though. Now, I'm going to say this. The pure talent is better. Game IQ is not better. There's a big discrepancy there, I feel like, from days past. But also, I feel like there's not as many guys driving or playing close, whatever, because of the way referees call the games, too. You know, we go on and on about players being wine babies or whining all the time or this, that, and the other. And it's like, watch the referees. They call terrible games. So these players are playing up to that because they know they'll get the calls. I know everybody likes to bash on LeBron, but, you know, Luka is one of the world's worst when it comes to that. And it's just, it's one of those, I would say out of everything, that makes it more unwatchable. The referee aspect of it makes it more unwatchable in my eyes. but a lot of it too, I mean, just basketball IQ as a whole is down, and that starts at development at lower levels.
I'm looking at the stats right now, and this is from teamrankings.com. And let me see, I'll bring it up right quick. This is your stats from 3-point attempts per game, average. I mean, you're looking at BYU, Furman, Cornell, but you're looking, look at 29, almost 29, 33s a game. That's how many threes college teams are shooting per game now. Arkansas Pine Bluff last year, 28. Arkansas State, 26. I'm trying to – Tennessee, 25. I'm not on the screen right now. Can you see this as I'm scrolling?
I mean, it's too small for me, but my screen's small.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at – okay, you're looking at the 128th team in the country last year, Hampton. 23 threes a game is what they averaged. And I'm looking for Arkansas right now, and I haven't scrolled. Oklahoma, 21. But you're getting my drift of when I say people are shooting 20, 25, 33s a game. That's where we're at in the college game now. So if you're not good at shooting threes, we see where that's going to get you. How far you move away from that, I don't know the answer to that when it comes to moving forward. But Arkansas right now, I mean, we're not tickled pink or we're not jumping off the ledge thinking it's the end of the world either. I mean, we've still got a lot of games left. You played a good Baylor team pretty much in their backyard and got beat by five. So,
But. You know, it's one of those that, like we said, it's early in the season. We didn't get blown out. They were down double digits. They came back and tied the game at one point towards late in the second half. So it's not so much that we're hyping every. I mean, there's a lot to work on. I think that if you aren't hitting the three, you've got to win the battle defensively and create turnovers to create offense. You know, it's kind of like Coach Cal talked about in the Lipscomb post game that we weren't hitting three, so we had to turn it up defensively to create separation. So if you're not going to hit it, you're going to have to live and die by your defense to create fast break and create turnovers and create those situations.
Exactly. And this right here really looked like they were playing individual basketball, not team ball. That's something that, I mean, look, that's what you're going to get in this. I mean, Cal's trying to get all, you got 4 or 5 stars trying to get them all to the NBA. That is going to be part of the downfall of this new era of basketball. You know, yes, they're going to be playing as a team, but you're going to see a lot of this individualism when it comes to these teams, because that's the same goal. You know, it's not the, hey, let's run set plays all game and pass. You have to pass 5 times before you shoot the ball. You know, we're not looking at that. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. We'll wrap up after the break, this first segment of talking about the Baylor, what's up next for Arkansas. And then we'll deep dive into Texas week, what to expect with the Longhorns coming into Fayetteville and the rest of the season. We'll catch you after the break.
Searching for premium brewing products that will take your daily routine to the next level? Look no further than Sterling Soap Company. Our handmade soaps, aftershaves, and balms are made with only the finest ingredients that give you the ultimate grooming experience. With a variety of scents to choose from, there's something for everyone. Plus, our products are crafted in small batches to ensure the highest level of quality. So why wait? Visit www.sterlingsoap.com or visit our retail store at 16 West Walnut Street in Paris, Arkansas. Shop our collection and discover the difference for yourself. Upgrade your grooming routine with Sterling Soap Company.
Are you looking for a place to grab a cold drink and some delicious food? Look no further than Arkansas Brewing Company. Located at 201 South 1st Street in beautiful downtown Ozark, our establishment offers a wide selection of craft beers and tasty eats. But what sets us apart is our welcoming atmosphere and friendly staff. At Arkansas Brewing Company, you'll always feel like part of the family. So visit Destiny and Christopher Brockett and staff today and see for yourself what makes us the go-to spot for locals and visitors alike. Arkansas Brewing Company, come for the drinks and stay for the friends. Attention DIYers and home improvement enthusiasts. Are you searching for the right tools and the supplies to tackle your next project? Look no further than Menards Hardware Store. With locations in Ozark, Alma, and Clarkville, our vast selection of hardware and building materials is sure to have everything you need, whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or building a new deck. Plus, our knowledgeable staff is always on hand to offer expert advice and guidance. And with our competitive prices and convenient online ordering, Menards Hardware Store is your one-stop shop for all your DIY needs. Visit us today, and let's build something amazing together.
Are you looking to take your career to the next level? Look no further than ATU Ozark Campus. As a two-year satellite campus of Arkansas Tech University, we're dedicated to a quality workforce education. Industry partnerships for in-demand jobs, and tailored paths for success. Our programs are led by industry professionals. Whether it's a certificate or you're aiming for a graduate degree, ATU Ozark has you covered. Visit our website at www.atu.edu/Ozark or contact us at 479-667-2117. Your future begins here. Welcome to Ozark Area Chamber of Commerce, where our mission is simple: encourage, promote, and aid an enduring environment of shared economic opportunity and civic development for the Ozark, Arkansas area. Whether you're a local business owner or a resident, we've got something for you. Shop our unique local businesses, explore the beauty of Ozark, and savor local flavors and find cozy accommodations. Join us in building a stronger community. And to learn more, contact us at 479-667-2525. Remember, together we thrive.
And welcome back into the Hog Talk podcast. And we're wrapping up just talking about this Baylor game. And up next for Arkansas, they have Troy on Wednesday, Bud Walton Arena, SEC Plus at 7 o'clock. And then they don't play again until Monday. Again, 7 o'clock, Bud Walton Arena against Pacific, SEC Plus. And they'll play Little Rock following Friday right before. So they have four game stretch before they go into Thanksgiving break, where they will be playing Illinois and Kansas City. So if you really, again, want some good time to go see Arkansas, and let's just be honest here, if you want a time where you can go watch them and possibly get tickets from the crowd size, this next four games, get some, you know, lower opponents would be the perfect time to go watch them.
You know, I was kind of glad to see that Little Rock game be in Fayetteville and not at Simmons, because, you know, Darryl Walker gets to come back to Fayetteville and coach, you know, against Arkansas. So that'll be a good homecoming for him. Be fun to see him there, coach in Bud Walton. See what happens.
Having some technical difficulties with that. Addy, you back? You're back. You're back.
Am I?
Yeah. Blinking in and out. There you go. I had the same thing happen, so we know what it's like. We had a power surge, and my son was like, Adam said, well, that's all, folks.
I mean, it's awkward doing a show by yourself. So
That's the way it goes sometimes when you're rolling live and you're worried about, you know, internet providers and stuff. But moving on to the football team, there's no way to really sugarcoat this game, man. I really had high hopes for the season. I had the Ole Miss game, but, you know, you think that they could be competitive, and you're looking at a team, Ole Miss, who just upset Georgia, makes that Ole Miss game. I mean, yeah, they're a better team, but, man, Texas just really, really, really scares me coming into Fayetteville on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one of those – I know Texas had some games where they didn't, like – I think a lot of folks, including myself, think that they didn't maybe look that impressive. They're not having to go out and beat teams 63-3.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting to a point in a game to where they're being able to put in second string and so forth. They're not having to keep in starters the full game. So it's one of those that Texas really hadn't slipped up besides what, that one game against Georgia. So, you know, it's one of those that I think that Texas is just out to prove that they're still here. Sark is probably the only one that has a little salty spot from the last time Texas was in Fayetteville. So, you know, it's one of those that I don't have the highest expectations. And then while we were on the break, and we pulled up here, And here's the, well, it's processing. This is the overall stat comparisons for the two teams. Let me pull this off. So, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Points per game. Texas at 10th. I mean, that's, there's some closes here. The things I'm looking at is points allowed, yards allowed. Passing yards, obviously, is pretty close. Total yards per game is close. And it's one of those that's going to come down to Texas's defense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's going to come down to when you look at this Texas team. I mean, just they're what Ole Miss was, but with a running game. That's what scares me about this game, and we'll break this down a lot more on Thursday when we hear from the coaches and whatnot. But, yes, this game, I was worried about this game from the start of the season, you know, and with the troubles that Arkansas has been able to having, well, not been able to, the troubles that Arkansas has been having and the injuries and the, you know, Green's hurt. We don't know what his status is fully. We don't know what Jackson's status is fully. How they're able to, when you need 2 full weeks to prepare for Texas, you're spending half of that getting ready, getting healthy, and then getting ready for Texas. Your defense has had 2 weeks, but when you haven't had that full 2 weeks to get ready for Texas, who's coming off that 49-17 win over Florida, Quinn Ewers had 331 yards passing and Gibson had 100 yards rushing. I mean, that is a recipe for, and especially how things went the last 11 o'clock game. This was an 11 a.m. kickoff as well, Texas, Florida. So, you know, this 11 a.m. game, you better come out, because if you go 3 and out, they score 3 and out, and you're finding yourself down 14-0 with 8-9 minutes left in this in the first quarter, it's over with when it comes to the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what scares me, because I think that's what this game could be. Because now I'm going back to prove to me that you're a 7-5 team. Prove to me you're a 7-win team. Right now, you're acting like a 5-6 win team. Granted, you win one game, you win six, you're bowl eligible. But with these next 3 games, Texas, La Tech, and Missouri, which 2 of the 3, I know Missouri needed a miracle at the end to beat South Carolina. You know, but these next 2 games could really impact how that Missouri game goes. And the Missouri team that you have, it, you can't sit there and it's going to be hard for me to predict them to win until they start winning.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of those. We're looking at where we're at this year right now compared to last year. Yes, we're already at more wins for the overall season. Yes, we are 1 win away from bowl eligible. But we're at a point, too, similar space last year where I think the wheels had already fallen off last season. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we're close to that cusp right here. And, you know, if you have 2 back-to-back games, blowout losses, it's going to be hard your final 3 or final 2 or whatever it is.
Yeah, that La Tech game is going to be exactly like the FIU game. You'll probably win it, but it's not going to mean anything. It's that Missouri game. That's you. If you bounce back, look, I'll lay this out here. You get blown out by Texas and then you win your final 2 games. That will make it a little bit easier. I'm not saying all is going to be forgiven, but if you end up winning, you get to that 7-win mark, and that 7th win is against Missouri. Now you're bowl eligible. You have a possibility to have 8 wins. Now I'll say this off of that. Do not get to this 8 wins and think that you've accomplished the most out of this season and act like everything's okay when your loss has just been atrocious and blowouts. I think instead of being – that's where mediocrity sets in. You're picking in apart how the games you did win. Oh, we got to 8 wins. Well, when you – are beating La Tech and a subpar Missouri team. Now, if this Missouri team was a top 10 team and they were really good, you don't get blown out by Ole Miss. You don't get blown out by Texas. Then you pull these games out, we're having a different conversation. But what I'm afraid is going to happen is they beat La Tech. They somehow beat Missouri. And then all is going to be forgotten about what transpired before that. Because you're pretty much going back to the Brett Bielema days of hanging your hat on. You're beating a Missouri team that's like a 6-6 Texas team. You can't jump for joy on that. You have to sit there and look, you know, Texas game's probably not going to go your way. Let's make the most of it. Let's win the next two games. That's if you beat Missouri. That if you beat Missouri.
Yeah, yeah, that's still going to be a big if until they do it. You know, you bringing up Brett. I mean, that's exactly my comparison of Sam Pittman and where he's at in his tenure. If you look at the records, they're nearly identical. I feel like the complacency is at that kind of similar point. The biggest difference, I think, from the fan base, because you do have a lot of fans that don't want to see a change or think that you need to let them stay here to build something or what. I think a lot of it just goes back to this is a likable coach. This is a guy that they could feel like they can sit down and have a cold beer with, and they don't want to see him go. But like we've also said, he served his purpose. He brought us back from hell, essentially, of Chad Morris. But now we've got to get better than this. We've got to get better than 30-point losses. You've got to get better than hoping you can get to 6 wins to be bowl eligible. Being bowl eligible should not be your goal like it used to be way back when. You know, that's what essentially I feel like coaching tenures hindered on was how many bowl games you got to. And then it was your win-loss record in bowl games. But now we're in this new era that I feel like, I mean, the only thing now should be getting to a 12-team playoff.
Yeah.
And if you can't even sniff that, you've got to make a change. The turnover does not take 5 to 7 years anymore in college football with the transfer portal the way it is. I feel like if things haven't turned around in 2 to 3 years, and I think Oklahoma is going to be looking at this after this season, or maybe they'll do another season, who knows, but they're in that same boat that Venables may not be working for them. And Oklahoma fans can talk all day long that they think that they would be doing the same thing in the Big 12. You're full of it, because I've been seeing that they feel like if they were still in the Big 12, they would have the same outcome this season. They're not giving the SEC and the SEC schedule any credit to their demise, essentially.
You know, I was having some conversations about Colorado with some people, and you look at, I know I jumped on the Vandy bandwagon. Yes, they got blown out by South Carolina, which I even had South Carolina picked on that, but they still improved their goal. You know, we're talking about goal, and I just want clarification. When you say goal or expectation, are you meaning expectation should not be a bowl game? Or are you saying goal? Because I think the goal for this year, yes, the goal is to make a bowl game. Yeah, that'd mm-hmm. be great. But the expectation for this program should not be bowl. It should be that 12-team play.
Yeah, no, the goal for this season obviously was getting to a bowl game, because you went 4-8 last year. Yeah. I'm just saying that because we've heard it from Sam Pittman before when he just talks about getting bowl eligible, because it's not just this season. He's talked about it in the past and years before. And so goal expectations years before was you go to a bowl game. If you don't, then you start looking at the bowl. The goal this season, yes, was to outperform 4-8 and get to a bowl game, but you shouldn't be happy with it.
Yeah. And reason why I'm saying that, we're talking about what Vandy's done. Look at Colorado and year two of Deion. There was a lot of doubters, a lot of people who said it. And the first excuse they brought up was, well, you can't do that. They're playing in a bad Big 12. Yes, they are playing in a bad conference. They lost OU in Texas, but you're acting like Colorado was this top-notch team, and then they got to play in an easier conference. This was a team that won 2 games, 3 games. Now they're at 7-2. This is not a program that's used to winning. He come and made that program better. Well, let's flip and let's bring Florida State in the conversation. A team that better is playing in a similar conference, if not worse conference than the Big 12. You have the pipeline, you have the recruiting, but look what Norvell's done at Florida State. I mean, you're getting beat 28-13 to Boston College. You got just railroaded by Notre Dame 52-3. Got beat by North Carolina 35-11. Your in-state rival, Miami, 36-14. So, you know, when people doubt, it's almost like what you're talking about with the basketball. When if Arkansas wins, they keep doing this, they're still going to find something to nitpick about. When they doubt somebody, they're still going to, it's never going to be good enough. They're never going to admit they were wrong, whether that's Colorado or even Arkansas in this case of, is Sam Pittman going to work out? Because what I'm afraid of is we know the trajectory of this program still going on a downward spiral, and we want to change, and we would, but it's going to get masked. If he beats La Tech and beats Missouri, he'll be here next year.
Well, touching on the Colorado thing, I mean, it's one of those that I don't care, and I don't think that it's just because it's Deion that people are trying to use this. Well, it's a weak Big 12. We've used that argument and excuse for the Big 12 before mm-hmm. Deion even thought about going to Colorado. It didn't matter if it was Texas, OU, Texas Tech was having a good year, whoever. The fact of the matter was, is you've always played in a conference that doesn't know how to play defense. Yes, the Big 12 is down now that you took Texas and OU out of it from that aspect. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, for years and years, I mean, SEC fans have looked at Big 12. I mean, they're going to crap on them because it was the Big 12.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those that, you know, I applaud you took, he took, he's taken a 1-11 team in two seasons to 7-2. Kudos. I mean, you've got great athletes on your
team. Exactly.
You've got guys, you're playing with this, your team is playing with this chip on their shoulder and it's working for you. Now, here's the thing. And I've said this plenty of times and I'll still say this until he proves me wrong on this. Deion's not going to be there next year. I don't care what anybody says.
And would you want him in Arkansas?
No.
No.
I mean, it's kind of one of those things that we have one coach that brings a lot of publicity when it comes to, you know, mainstream media, the media, opposing fan bases and whatnot. Could we handle two?
Could you handle three? Could you handle Deion coming in and keeping Bobby as his OC and then having Coach Cal? And when we're looking at two sports that are back-to-back, you want to talk about – you think we're talking about Arkansas and Barstool and stuff. You have Deion, your football coach, and then followed up with Cal
basketball? Oh, you would have to – like, you know, Netflix has the receivers, the quarterback shows. You'd have to have – a coach's show just around Arkansas for on Netflix, or if HBO wants to go Hard Knocks for college. I mean, that's reality TV at its finest right there. If you have that bunch under one.
Well, and here's the thing we're talking about. We led the show where we were talking about in the first segment about writers and using clickbait and marketing and knowing what fan bases get. Look, I'll say this. I agree 110%. And I honestly think he would be dumb not to. You went to Jacksonville State and got the opportunity to become a D1 head coach in a power five, power four, whichever, how many you want to do powers now, conference. And you turn it in from a 1-11. Now you're 7-2 with three games left. You could end up winning 10-11 games this year. How insane is that? Mm-hmm. Now, if they do, I mean, it's there because, I don't know, they still got to play Utah and they're pissed right now. So yeah,
you would be too.
I mean, that's Auburn. Like, with, I know we're going down a small hole, we'll come back, but you're talking about that game. That's Auburn. Like, when it comes to ref costing a team the game,
mm-hmm.
But I would be dumb. But you know what? If I was Deion, you know where I'd go? I would go to Florida.
But because they're keeping Napier.
Well, you never know.
I know.
You never know. But I'm just saying,
confidence.
I don't think unless he is just that petty to go back to Florida State, I would go somewhere other than Florida State because how they done him. And the fact that if he's doing what he did, and we're talking about flukes and blah, 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 he done it at Jacksonville State. Then, okay, you can call that a fluke. Then he did it again at Colorado, and we're talking about it's never good enough. He's done it at both spots he's been at. It's not like a PJ Fleck that had one really good season at Western Michigan or two seasons, and then he's kind of mediocre at Minnesota right now. Or look at the guy that I was talking about, Cincinnati. Now he's moved up. He's media. I mean, he's done it everywhere he's went. So not saying I would want him in Arkansas. I think it'd be crazy. But I think Arkansas needs a chill pill when it comes to the next coach they choose. But
what's the over? I wonder what the betting odds are on him becoming the Jets' new head coach and drafting his son.
If he wants
that, would that not be the biggest jump over a short period? I mean, because you know, we look we look at Mike McDaniel and some of the others that you know went from chain gang up to head coach of the Miami Dolphins and all that. This, you know, going from Jackson State, HBCU, you know, he was going to stay at the HBCU, he was going to bring them to relevance, he was going to this, he was going to that. Yeah. And I get it. I mean, he was footing the bill for a lot of the stuff for that team because the school couldn't afford it. And then going to, yes, a Power Four school. I mean, that would just be going from HBCU to the New York Jets would just be like astronomical.
Yeah. I mean, and somebody even said, or the Cowboys. Well, I mean, I don't know. It'd be funny if I don't.
He couldn't be a yes man.
I don't know if he wants to go NFL route, but I mean, but you know, going back to the Jacksonville State thing, I think a lot of things were promised that ended up not happening with funding. I mean, he knew that wasn't going to be sustainable because you look exactly the reason why I think he's going to leave Colorado, I think is the reason why he left Jacksonville State. He's riding that wave. He knew he was not going to get the resources and the players to have a sustainable career at Jacksonville State. So let's play our 1 or 2 years. Then let's go to Colorado, have somebody buy and invest in us to turn this thing around. You turn Colorado around and then you go off to the next team. I think that's what's going to happen. But it's the fact that I think a lot of when it comes to the Razorback fans and their perception of Deion, I think, I don't know if you think it's envy because it's not happening at Arkansas.
Yes,
100%. You think there's bitterness because they're seeing it happen at Vandy. They're seeing it happen at Colorado, and they're like, why not here? I think that's a lot of the hate when it comes to this situation is because there was a lot of people who would love to have Deion come to Arkansas. And then they stick with Sam. They see him go to Colorado, and there's just that bitterness. So they're not willing to accept that he's – just doing a good job. I don't care where he's at, what school he went to. He's turning them around. He's flipping houses right now. But we're complaining about the profit of these houses he's flipping. He's still flipping them.
Oh, I mean, it's complete envy and bitterness and whatever else because other teams are getting it, but Arkansas's not.
Yeah.
And so here we are. I mean, if we want to go back to, you know, 2018, so we're six, almost 7 years into just the mess we're in while other teams have completely turned things around and complete turnarounds too. I mean, I don't know if you could say complete or if it's a fluke. In one season, look at South Carolina at the beginning of the season and South Carolina now. They're now ranked 23rd. Mm-hmm. None of us, I mean, at the beginning of the season, you know, it was a laughing stock. I'm putting out graphics with scores. And every week after week, I've got them USC Junior.
Oh, well, that was for 11-1.
And now I can't bring myself to do that right at this point, just because I mean, hell, they've turned their stuff around, and kudos and good on them. I mean, good on them doing it. I like seeing Rocket Sanders succeed. So,
and I've been butchering their name. I apologize. I was saying Jacksonville State and on my little rant is Jackson State. No disrespect to the schools. I knew which school. I just said the name wrong. So I apologies to our YouTube crew on that.
Jacksonville State screwed the game last night with a kicker missing the game winning the game tying extra point against La Tech.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, I don't know. We'll do. We'll break down more of this Texas game and talk some more about. We'll be again Thursday, so we'll be talking about the basketball game coming up. You know, hope seeing something different. I mean, I know the opponent's going to be lesser, but, you know, maybe we can start seeing, maybe they'll play zone against Arkansas and they can work on that. I don't know. But yeah, what really sucks is the fact that you're really trying to get invested in this basketball team. And, man, with it starting in prime football season, I really hate it for, you know, the fans. I really love basketball. We said that when we come on last week, if this is our favorite sport to talk about. But you're still trying to sandwich it into the final 3 weeks of this season, and especially where we're at right now, you don't know if this team's going to end up at 5 wins or 7 wins or 8 wins. You never know. And I'm including the bowl game, because I just there's no way I see them winning.
Okay, I'm glad you clarified that, because you said 8 wins earlier. Yeah, I was like,
I'm including the bowl game because I don't see any way they beat Texas on Saturday. I don't. I'm sorry to everybody, but I don't think it's going to be close. And we'll talk about that more on Wednesday. I don't know.
I was surprised that the spread was only 10.5 this morning.
Well, bless them. I guess they're trying to do something, because it's just, again, what I said to begin with. You're playing an Ole Miss team that can run. And you've seen what Ole Miss did. You had a guy, and yours threw for 5 touchdowns against Florida. So it maybe it's that PTSD of what we watched happen against Ole Miss. That's why I'm thinking that. But, damn, I don't see it happening.
I don't think it's going to be the 30-point blowout loss, but at the same time, it's not going to be I'd call for 17 to 24 points.
Yeah. And yeah, that's fair. I think that it might be around that, but you got anything else before we wrap it up and send you off to the next studio, to the HQ Hog HQ Live, coming up at 8. So, you know, when we get done here about 30 minutes, Adam will be back with Matt, DP. Talk about it some more.
No Yellowstone spoilers, please. I'll watch it after.
Oh, yes. Yellowstone's back. I'm going to watch that right now. So, yeah. But that will do it for this episode of Hog Talk Podcast. Again, please don't forget to tune in right here at 8 o'clock live on all our Facebook pages, YouTube pages. Adam and crew will be back with you with Hog HQ Live for Buzz Radio Network, Believe, and Bet Online. Sponsored by the Sterling Silver Roastery Studios. We will be back on Thursday with another edition of the Hog Talk Podcast. Catch you on Thursday.